My name is Erik Leijonmark. I am Secretary General ECHA, the European Cities Against Drugs, and you're very well welcome to this side event on alternative legal regimes for cannabis. What are the public health and society impacts? And that's something I think we all in this room are very interested to discuss and talk about, and that we are of different opinions. That's very clear in this room, probably also. But I think it's a very important discussion to bring up, and especially important is to focus on the United States of America, because this is a country where this evolution has come quite far. And it's also setting, for good or for bad, a precedence for the rest of the world. So we're going to hear today from different policy experts on the health effects of cannabis and also how legal industries, the beginning of the legal industry of cannabis is emerging in the United States, and how it is adopting similar tactics to both legal and tobacco industries. So without further ado, I would like also to thank the government of Sweden and Latvia for endorsing and supporting this event, and very big thank you to you. But I will let the room for Maria Renström. She comes from the World Health Organization, and the World WHO has very recently came up with a big publication on the medical effects of the health effects of non-medical cannabis use. So, Maria, the floor is yours.
Thank you. Thank you for inviting WHO to present what we call here the knowns and unknowns about the health and social effect of non-medical use of cannabis. So, actually, it's the opposite of what you said.
No.
Yeah. And so, what I would like to take you through what the report is about, how it was developed, and some of the what we at least the scientists that participated in this very technical report. I think I need to tell you that this is a purely technical report. It doesn't go into the questions that you started with. So it tries to keep to the WHO core function of giving best available scientific knowledge about the health and social effects. So I start with this to be very clear. So it's about non-medical use of cannabis and not about medical use. And it's about what I said earlier, the health and social effects of cannabis use. And it presents the current knowledge on a very broad sort of definition of health, what we know, the different parts. I mean, going from brain to lungs, to mental health and so on. So it tries to cover most of what we at least hope that we will contribute to better knowledge for all of you that are working in this area. So what we know, but it's also presenting the priority areas for future research, because we, and even myself personally, was a little bit surprised that when we actually look about, when we try to see on the health and social effect of long-term, especially long-term cannabis use, there's quite a lot of lack of knowledge. So this is trying at least the first step to contribute to better knowledge about this. And how was it developed? So actually, this is the product of a broad range of scientists, medical doctors, experts that started on request from WHO to provide background papers on the areas of their own expertise. For example, one of the best experts on lung diseases developed the part about the impact of cannabis use on lungs, for example. And after the sort of contribution from all these experts, we held, WHO held an expert meeting to discuss for several days with all these experts and went through what we actually thought could be enough strong to say that we know about. And then a smaller drafting group and three main editors sort of put this together, and it was also sent for external review. So, I mean, we worked in the normal way that WHO is working with this type of very technical reports. So it's actually 2 years of work behind this. So it covers the cannabis substance profile and its health impact, the different components, the neurobiology of cannabis use, the short-term effects of cannabis, mental health and psychosocial outcomes of long-term cannabis use, and also cannabis use on non-communicable diseases. And also some part, but this is I can say that the parts on prevention and treatment only goes through very, very sort of brief what we know works in prevention and treatment. Actually, there are other documents produced by WHO that goes more deeply into this. So this is just a short summary of what we know. And we have actually, at this expert meeting, together with the expert, we discussed a lot about how will we judge the evidence, because this is a crucial thing. So actually, we try to go through all these requirements, for example, the evidence of an association between cannabis use and the health outcome. And that can be from different types of studies, as you can see here. And the consistency of evidence, and is this only one study, for example, or is this actually based on several studies in different cultures? Is there some meta-analysis and so on, and case studies? So we try to also be very careful what kind of studies that we actually included. And then we also looked, of course, on the reverse causation of an implausible explanation of an association to rule out that cannabis use is a consequence of the health outcome rather than a cause of it. And the third requirement, that's the difficult one, the factors, other factors that actually can also increase, for example, the risk of the sort of health outcomes. And often, as you know, there's very often that they also use other drugs, they have other sort of risk factors than just using cannabis. And how have we defined the harms to health? So we have looked at the severity of the effects and then the properties of the substance itself, and I will come back to that. The form and the mode of administration used, the characteristics of the person taking it, and in which context it's taken. So we try to cover all these quite complicated associations and different harms. So what can we say that we at least quite sure that we know. So what do we know about the global prevalence of use? I think several of you already know this, that, I mean, it's the most commonly used, absolutely, that we know. And 181.8 million individuals, I would say that is a very, that's an estimate. Because as you can see on the map, several parts of the world, we actually don't have much data on the use of cannabis. So this is what we know, I would say. And it varies considerable. And it's more common in developed than developing countries. But after listening to some of the presentation here, I'm starting to wonder how much, for example, in North Africa, we know about the prevalence of cannabis use. We heard quite a lot about that. So that is one of the things when it comes to the lack of what we don't know. I would say low and middle income countries, there's still a lack of knowledge about the prevalence. We know mostly from the high income countries, as you can see here. We have the lifetime prevalence in Europe. We have know about young Europeans, how often they've used it in the past 12 months and so on. But you see the gray areas on the map, that's quite substantial part of the world, we lack knowledge. But that was about use. WHO, as you know, also look very carefully into dependence and cannabis use disorders. So this is what we so far can present on the cannabis dependence in the different parts of the world. And it's, as you can see, it's 8 standardized DALIs rates per 100 population by country. And the red ones is quite clear, which part where we can see that the cannabis use disorders are most prevalent. It's in the North America, it's in Australia and in Europe. But Africa, I would say we it would be one of the things that could be really important to see more. And I know that there are people here, I hope, that could give some more clarification about the latest development of that. We also look about treatment trends. And one of the main concerns why WHO has looked into this is, of course, that more and more information about that cannabis use is the main reason for people seeking substance use treatment. And it's now second after alcohol globally. And what we can also say is that it has increased since the 1990s in most parts of the world. And for example, in the European Union, they EMCDA presented quite recently more information about how many that enrolled into drug specialized drug treatment, saying that cannabis is actually their primary drug. And we also have seen that the peak, compared to other substances, the peak is quite, I mean, the age is quite low when they seek treatment. For example, we saw that between 15 and 24 years, that's actually the peak when they are seeking help for problems related to cannabis. Not always dependence, it could be other more short-term consequences. So I will just go, and I recommend you, because the time doesn't allow to go into more details, I have to be quick. So actually, this report is on the website, so you can go and have a look more about this. So we know about the plants, and what makes it so complicated is actually that there are 104 different cannabinoids that we know now. Of course, it's the THC, as you see, that's the primary psychoactive compound. And the interesting thing now is that we have seen it has increased upward trend in the THC contents in cannabis, and downward trend of the CBD that actually are the non-psychoactive component. And this is actually something that is needed to look more into the impacts of that. The short term is, of course, they need to say that there's an effect of cannabis use. It needs to occur shortly after a single occasion of use. It must precede the effect, and the effect must be closely together in time. And the most obvious short-term health effect is intoxication, as you know, and disturbance in the level of consciousness, cognition, perception, effects on behavior, and so on. And the magnitude depends, of course, on the dose, how it's administered, in which setting, and so on. So it's quite complicated, actually, to see all this association. I just want to make you realize how quite complex this is. But what we know is that compared to others, of course, cannabis overdose risk of dying from an overdose is really, really low. For the moment, we don't have any reports on that. But we know that the minority of first-time users becomes very anxious, have panic attacks and hallucinations and so on. And we know that it impairs driving and increases the risk of fatalities and deaths. So that is a new area where there's more knowledge today than before. We also know that it triggers coronary events because of the increased heart rates and so on, especially in younger smokers that otherwise wouldn't have any problems with this. Long-term effects of regular use, and what we evaluate the evidence if cannabis is a contributory cause of the following death outcomes: of dependence, cognitive impairment, mental disorders, depression, anxiety, and suicidal behavior, adverse physical health effects, and so on, as you can see. So actually, we've gone through quite a lot of associations. Long-term effects on lungs, heart, and cancers. So we know that it produces symptoms of chronic and acute bronchitis, and the microscopic injuries on bronchial. That is, for me, very lining cells. Don't ask me exactly what it is, because I'm not an expert in that area. But it does not appear to produce COPD, what's called cool in some countries. Long-term heavy smoking can trigger what we said before, strokes and so on, infarctions in young cannabis users. Oh my God. And smoking a mix of both cannabis and tobacco increases risk of cancers and other respiratory diseases, but this is also an area where more research is needed. And there's suggestive evidence on testicular cancer, and that also requires more. Long-term effects on young people. So actually the report concentrates quite a lot of long-term effects of young people. And heavy cannabis use during adolescence are associated with more severe, persistent negative outcomes than used during adulthood, and increases the risk of developing, for example, psychotic symptoms and schizophrenia. And we heard from, for example, Morocco, I listened, that the psychosis related has is a huge problem in those countries, and I guess in others as well. And daily use, and I would stress daily use in young adolescents, is associated with early school leaving, cognitive impairment, risk of other illicit drugs, and so on and so on. And we know that if lifetime uses, 1 to 10 is the number we always mention when it comes to dependence, but if you look at this group that starts early, frequent use, actually it's more like 1 in 3 that actually can develop dependence. And there are more references in the report on this. So we also go through what we can know about prevention treatment. We, as also mentioned by other presentations from WHO, evidence prevention should cover the whole prevention chain. It should not be isolated interventions. It needs to cover the whole. And we also know, as in other, not only related to cannabis, but other tobacco, alcohol, that comprehensive family prevention is shown to have an impact on cannabis use, for example, but also others. Life skill programs that combine social competence and social influence approaches works better than programs focused on only one aspect, and that is also something. And interactive social programs targeting vulnerable young people can have an impact on cannabis use. And we also know that in more psychosocial interventions works in people that are not dependent on. So this is the group that has not developed dependence that this works. And we also know that if we look, many cease without treatment actually. But for many people, for many young people, cannabis use is limited in time. But for those, we can say that family interventions for adolescents and cognitive behavior therapy, CBT, and and motivational enhanced therapy and psychosocial problem solving therapy are effective in this area. But there are also some priority for further research, and in the report we identify more than this. I just mentioned some of them. We need to know more about the THC content and its effect, absolutely. We also need to know whether this is actually one of the reasons why people seeking treatment is one of the causes behind it. And we need to know much more about prevalence in low and middle income countries, absolutely. We are also currently working on the effects of cannabis use on motor vehicle accidents. So this is within the global burden of disease estimate, this is one of the key issues for WHO for the moment. We also need to know about the effects of long-term cannabis use on NCDs, and we also need to know more about indicated prevention and how that could work for this group. There are really limited studies and evidence about this. So you can find it here, you can see on the WHO website, because I don't have more time now. So I thank you very much, and I hope that at least this gives an introduction to the rest of the presentations. Thank you. Mm-hmm.